بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I don't know how many of you actually remember to read after Fajr. There are certain adhkar that should be recited after Fajr Salah. And they are from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Should read أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق 3 times. You should read Bismillah الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم 3 times. So this dua, Bismillah الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء هو السميع العليم, is so powerful that it protects an individual from everything around him. Not only in matters of eating, we tend to think if you read this when you're drinking something or you're going to eat something, it's not going to harm you. It's true, inshallah, it won't harm you. But this can be recited at any time, in any situation. I heard a clip of Hazrat Mufti Zahir Ali Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, a Jayyid Alim. His knowledge of Deen was immense, and he in himself was like an encyclopedia of books. When I say books, I mean Deeni Kutub, Deeni books. And he was a very muttaki person. He died just a few years ago, about 2 years ago. It's very unfortunate that sometimes we have people amongst us that are of such a caliber, but we don't recognize them, and that's so true. Once they've gone, then you begin to wonder and you begin to think, oh, this man was really great. Mufti Zahir Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was so particular about practicing the Sunnah that in his masjid, in the first saf, you couldn't stand in the first saf without wearing an imamah. And then there was an occasion, he wouldn't allow people with ties. You know, you wear a tie, wear a suit and a tie. He wouldn't allow people to wear a tie in the masjid. So he was very particular and very cautious, and he was very wary of introducing things and abstaining from things. So he was a very... he was a very thoughtful person. So I heard a clip of his, and so he's mentioning this dua بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء والسميع العليم. He said that on one occasion when he was coming from his home to the masjid, and this was early on in his lifetime. So sometimes you will sense something like that. So he sensed something, you know, an element of fear. There was nothing there. But on this route that he would take, he would feel an element of fear grip him, as though somebody is watching him or somebody is following him. And it tends to happen sometimes, you know, you have this feeling. Sometimes it's at home, sometimes you may be walking and all of a sudden you look back thinking there's somebody behind you and there's nobody there. So he had that sort of fear gripped him. So he thought about it, and he began to read this dua. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. So whenever this fear would begin to grip him, he would recite this dua. And so he kept doing so. After a few days, that fear never came back. It completely disappeared. So, as I'm saying, this dua is very mujarrab. It's a very... it's a very beneficial dua. It's a very... it has a lot of benefits. And unfortunately, we don't... And remember this, these are the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us something, وَمَا يَنْتَكُ أَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٍ يُوحَىٰ. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only speaks what is wahi. One is direct wahi from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The other is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been inspired with by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's also a form of wahi. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nauzubillah, should never think that there can be any deficiency in any way, in any form. And so these are the Mubarak words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when practiced, and when recited, and when read, then nothing, absolutely nothing can harm or even come in the way of harming this individual. And you should get into a habit of reciting this dua every day after Fajr and after Maghrib. And then there are certain other awrad as well, or adhkar, that are narrated for morning and evening. And you should learn them, and you should endeavor to try and read them and recite them and get into a habit. It doesn't take long, just a few minutes. At the most, it's a few minutes. That's it. And it's done. For the effort and the time spent of a few minutes, its effect is so long-lasting that it helps, and the effects last till the end of the day. And then from the end of the day till the end of the night. That is how far-reaching these effects are. Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he's so my Hazrat Pir Ghulam Habib Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Hazrat Murshid-e Alam, then his Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Malik, a great Wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and so his Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Alayhi, whose grandson honored us with his visit just before Ramadan al-Mubarak. So whenever Hazrat would eat, so we tend to read Bismillah ala barakatillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hazrat would always begin eating his food with Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa as-sami'ul 'alim. And so he had this habit. So this dua is very beneficial, and should learn it and then should read it, inshallah. It will protect you, it will protect us, inshallah, from all those things that can be harmful. So since I've already begun, let me come to the subject. So have I already begun? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his Muqaddas Kitab, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And I was talking about لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You learn self-restraint. And then I began to give the example of Mubarak, who used to work in the orchard of his master, a pomegranate orchard. And if you remember, the guests came and the master asked for a pomegranate to be brought, and the first one turned out bitter and sour, the second one, the third one, and so on. And then eventually the master got so angry with Mubarak, he said, "What's wrong with you? Haven't you ever tasted one?" He said, "No, I have never." So in all this period that you were in working for me, and you've been looking after the orchard, cleaning it, watering it, protecting it from the animals and other people, he said, "No, I have never eaten it." Why? I never had your permission. I never had your permission. I want you to think about that. How thoughtful is that? That an individual has been employed but does not take advantage of the position that he may have by abusing that position and taking from the product or the whatever the goods may be, or the position or the timing, or in any way. There's no element of abusing it. And that's a difficult thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do that. Now, think about it. Don't you think he's human? Me and you, when sometimes we see something, "Oh, I wish I could eat that." And if you could, you could get your hands on it, you would. How many of us in the month of Ramadan, you know, we are fasting, and then during the fast you think, I want this, and then you speak to your wife or your mother, or and they say, "Oh, okay, you want that, I'll make it for you." Doesn't it happen? It happens most of the time. You feel a desire that I'd like to eat this, and then your mother will say, or your wife will say, "I'll make it for you. It's the month of Ramadan, you're fasting anyway. So no problem, let me make it." Yeah, if that's not the case, then you're very unlucky. Why are you unlucky? Allah knows. So So he had a desire. It wasn't like he didn't have any desire. But he knew that there was a limit. He knew there was a boundary. And if he was going to keep his conduct within the confines of that boundary and fulfill his covenant, his oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he needed to understand what his duty was towards his master. And he did that. So his master was very perplexed. He said, "Subhanallah, this man seems like a very muttaki person, a very God-fearing person, a person that is very thoughtful about his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Just imagine, and I keep saying that, just imagine on the day of Qiyamah when our register is unfolded, how many things will become apparent which we did that we didn't think about. We went around thinking, I have a right to this, I have a right to this, I have a right to this, and we went indulging in all those things. How many things? He was abstaining. He's human. I'm sure he would have had an inclination. Oh, I wonder how the pomegranate tastes. Is it sweet? Is it bitter? Is it sour? He was just doing his job of looking after the pomegranates, the trees. That's it. As I mentioned, Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali, it's written about Hazrat, incredible wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's difficult to find an example like that. It's written about Hazrat, and the people experience this, that whenever Hazrat would not eat until the food was brought to him. What does that mean? Even when he was hungry, he would not ask to be fed. If he went and he sat there and the food was brought to him, he would eat. He would never ask. He would never ask, "Bring my food. It's time for food." We're never hungry. Are we ever hungry? No. The people that are hungry right now and are starving and are dying of malnutrition are in Gaza. They are the people who are actually hungry. Me and you never go hungry. When do we go hungry? For a couple of hours that we have abstained from eating and drinking in the day, in the evening we fill ourselves silly with food. Just look at the food that is coming, and it's not in my control or your control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing this food in for you in itikaf. And you're eating yourself silly. And you can't help yourself. You may have abstained for a few hours from eating and drinking, and then all of a sudden there's this dastarkhan that is filled with so much food that even your brain doesn't work as to how much you're going to eat. So Hazrat Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali, he used to remain so engrossed and busy with things. And then when it was time to eat, and if he came and he sat and the food was brought, he would eat. Otherwise he wouldn't say, "Bring my food." And that was the case with his sleep as well. Even with his sleep, he wouldn't sleep until he was so tired and so overcome and overwhelmed by sleep. Only then would he sleep. Only then. So that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his younger days, when he would never ask for food either. If he was presented with food, he would eat. Otherwise he wouldn't ask that I'm now hungry, can you feed me? That is a level. وَمَنْ يُؤْقَ شُوهَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Subhanallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability to express, and that is of course wahi, and this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is absolutely magnificent. In this very short, just a clip of the ayat, وَمَنْ يُقَّ شُوهَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Ajib, the person that's controlled his desire, his wish, I want to eat this, I want to drink that, I want to do this, I want to do فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. It's that person who's going to be successful in the hereafter. But not only that, he's going to be successful in this world too. When Hazrat Aqdas, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, he was told by his Sheikh, Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Huzakariya Rahmatullah Ali, that you must go to the UK and do the work of Deen there. So initially, obviously, there was no Darul Uloom in Bury. So when Hazrat came, he came to Bolton and he began to do imamat in a masjid in Bolton. That's still there. It's called Zakaria Masjid, and it was known as Zakaria then as well. But then it was a very small masjid. And so this I heard from Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Rahmatullahi Alayh. We've lived with him in this area. I don't know how many of you actually know him. So Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Rahmatullahi Alayh used to be a co-partner with Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh in doing imamat in the masjid. And so I heard this from him, and he used to say that there were such periods where they wouldn't have anything to eat, and it was difficult for them. And on occasion, if they managed to get a chicken, they would make it last for so many days and so on. And these are things I've heard from Hazrat Maulana. It's a matter of abstaining. This is what the month of Ramadan is teaching us. This is what La'allakum tattaqun is teaching us. Don't follow your desires. If you feel like you want to eat, just wait till somebody's told you to eat. I don't think anyone of us can do that. At the slightest inkling of you're not even hungry, but you look at it's been 4 hours, I haven't eaten anything yet. I'm going to eat now. And you're not even hungry. Or I need to drink water. Now it's become such a bad habit. How many times in Taraweeh will people sip water? I don't understand. You're acting like you're in a desert. Not the desert that you eat from the desert shop. I mean, you know, the Sahara. That's how you act. The prior priest says he never did that. How many of you sitting here right now, let's talk about you that are here. How many times will you sip water during Taraweeh? Do you seriously need to? Ask yourself that. Oh, I'm going to get dehydrated. Really? Where is dehydration coming from when it's not even hot? Well, you're fasting, so you're not drinking water. Oh, yes. you don't know the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in your body. You think you know yourself better. I need to drink water. And so this is a constant thing, constantly. The crushing of the bottle and the, I don't know, flipping open of the bottle and the closing of the bottle. And people don't even think they're making a sound. And it's very annoying, especially to me. I just don't like these things. It's very annoying, very, 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 believe me. And we stood up, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, somewhere back. This, I don't know, you know the sounds that are made by these plastic bottles. Where is the need? Tell me that. You just told yourself that if you don't drink water, you're going to die after 20 rakats. Out of what? Dehydration. Really? Ask those people in Gaza what dehydration is, what starving is. Ask them. Have you even thought about them while in the month of Ramadan? Have you? Be sensitive. Be sensitive to what's happening to them, so that you can appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Just contemplate and think for a moment. Just ask yourself, what is this situation? 170 whatever days now? 6 months. 6 months of constant bombing. It hasn't stopped. The UN is useless, doesn't have anything, doesn't have any power. It's just a figment of somebody's imagination that the UN exists. To me, there is no UN. United Nations, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What power do they have? Nothing. How many people are now dead? How many babies have died? Over 1,000 babies. Children? 30? 30,000 children. Totally over 50,000 people are dead in 6 months. And we sit here and we spread our legs out and we have this dasturkhan in front of us and we think to ourselves, I'm going to eat half the dasturkhan. Then you can't even eat a morsel. From the beginning of Ramzan, I've sat here and I've had a khajur to eat and water to drink. They usually put some fruit and stuff, and I've said to them from the beginning, no, I don't want it. I don't know even if they understood it. And then they come along and they insist, have something, what for? Am I dying? Mubarak understood that he needs to abstain and restrain himself. Why was he doing that? He was doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, I think I've come to the... I'm looking at the clock, and it's around this time. I stopped yesterday as well, so I shall do that today too. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits, I shall continue with Mubarak's story. You know, seriously, I'm very serious. You should have this worry. You should think to yourself, what is my state? What is my condition? You know, am I just fulfilling all my desires without even thinking about it? How do I fit in with the Quran and Sunnah? Is the Quran and Sunnah applicable to me? Am I allowing it to dictate my life, my thinking, my understanding? There is a hadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, in his Arba'in. The Arba'in is very famous. He's included this hadith in there wherein the Prophet ﷺ said that you're not truly a believer. You're not a true believer. These are words on many occasions the Prophet ﷺ has used to highlight the importance of certain aspects that are being mentioned. So in this hadith as well, being said that you're not a true believer unless and until your desire is like the desire of Rasulullah. So tell me, what is the desire of Rasulullah right now at this moment in time? If you have any intelligence, you can ascertain from the little knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that Rasulullah at this moment in time will be so concerned for the people of Gaza that it's incredible. But we don't think, do we? We live in a system and this environment of the mobile phone and gadgets. And I really don't want to touch the subject of social media, but I'm going to just mention it, social media. It has killed our faculties meaning our faculty to think. To think in what way? In the way that we've been fashioned to think by the system we're in? Or have we stepped out of the system and do we think independently? You need to think independently in light of the Quran and Sunnah. We all need to do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. As I said yesterday, now begin to think, we are going to do the Khatm al-Khazgan, recite Durood Sharif, recite some ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, and the virtues, the benefits, the rewards. Alhamdulillah, you know these, you've been told so many times that you read Durood Sharif once, you get 10 rewards, 10 sins are forgiven, your status is raised by 10, and then in some other narrations, many other benefits are mentioned. And of course, the greatest benefit of reciting Durood is that you're getting close to the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Subhanallah. Inna Allah, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa malaikatuhu, and the angels, yusalloon, they send durood and salam ala nabi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honor this is upon us that we are allowed with our filthy tongues. My tongue is definitely filthy. It is not worthy of uttering the Mubarak and pure name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this allowance that we take the most pure, honorable name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah accept it. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Are you even thinking about the kalimat that you are reading? Look at the people of Gaza. They proclaim, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. They proclaim, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. And the understanding of the situation is, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is how they understand the situation. And the conviction is in Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And ultimately they believe that all this because Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu.
Subhanallah!
Think about it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna
صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم الذين آمنوا الله ولي 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 الذين آمنوا
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
Close your eyes, focus upon your heart. Contemplate the mercy coming down upon the heart. And out of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mercy, the heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. مرات قبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. تب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.